Hearing that song, that's a beautiful song. Miss Lauren gets better every time she sings, so we're thankful. We're going to miss them, that's for sure. And hope you're praying for the lepers as they'll be moving here next month, and we're certainly going to miss them a ton. In Genesis chapter 6, we'll get there in a minute. Genesis chapter 6, and this morning I want to preach on the subject of living and not dying. Living and not dying. As we look at the life of Noah this morning, there was a choice that was given. The choice was get in the ark and live, or don't and die. And by the way, you have the same choice today. You can either get in the ark of Jesus Christ and live, or you can choose not to, and then you can die. And it's a spiritual death as well as a physical death for eternity. Every day we are faced with choices. Some of you are thinking about what you're going to have for lunch. Maybe you already know. Some of you, if you're like us around here, if you travel through Hazlitt, you wonder, which way am I going to go tomorrow? Because Bond's Ranch could be closed, or Blue Mound could be closed, or Avondale Hazlitt could be six trains. We don't know. So we're faced with choices. Every time I come, now that I live on this side of the world, every time we come in, we're just going, which one? You know, and it's like a gambling, it's like gambling with your life, basically. And you think, will I make it in 20, or will it be an hour? The other day it took us 50 minutes to get here. Thank you, traffic. By the way, let's get more people to move into this area and let's don't fix the road system. Can we just get an amen right there? Amen. I got that off my chest. I feel so much better. But sometimes we have a choice of what are we going to do in our spare time, if you have any of that. You think, what am I going to do this weekend, or whatever it may be. We're all faced with choices. Our world is filled with choices. Our lives are filled with choices of where are you going to eat, where are you going to stop, where are you going to do this, or whatever it may be. But can I say also the Bible gives us choices. That in Matthew, and I want to read just a couple of these to you, and we'll get to Genesis. In Matthew chapter 7, verse 13 through 14, it says, enter ye in the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. And many there be which go thereat, because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Listen, you have a choice. You can choose the straight and narrow way, or you can choose the broad way. And by the way, you're born into the broad way. You have a choice. In Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 through 6, it says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean on thine own understanding, and all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. You can choose not to allow him to lead you, and you can direct your path, or you can allow God to direct your path and your life, and by the way, which is far better and less destructive in our life. Joshua said this. He says that it seemed evil to you to serve the Lord. Choose you this day whom you'll serve, whether the gods of your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Joshua said, you have a choice today. You can either serve the gods before, you can serve the world now, or you can serve the God of my fathers, right? You can serve the God of gods. You can serve the Lord this morning. James chapter 1 verse 5 says, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and shall be given to him. There's a choice this morning. You can either live by God's wisdom or yours. By the way, your wisdom is considered in the book of Proverbs foolishness. But this morning we're going to look at Genesis chapter 6, and we'll begin at verse 8 with a very, by the way, there's, I don't mean to sound funny, but there's two really nice words in this chapter, and they are spelled B-U-T. There's two buts in this Bible that I want you to look at, and they're good. It starts off with saying, as a matter of fact, in the verses previously to verse 8, he's talking about the world and talking about all the imaginations that are only evil continually. But I love in verse 8, it says, but Noah Amen. Found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Hey, listen, that button may not mean a lot to you, but it meant a lot to Noah. And when all these horrible things are being spoken of, the Lord comes to Noah and he says, Noah, listen, everybody is vile and wicked, but you found grace in my sight. Hallelujah. In verse 3, it says, these are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man, a perfect in his generation. And Noah walked with God. It seems like his kinfolk, Enoch, that walked with God. Noah begot sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth, which you can use those if you want to name your children after that. Very common names. Today. In verse 11 says, the earth was also corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. By the way, there was possibly 1 to 2 million people, we don't know, on this earth. There was a lot of people probably on the earth at this time. And it says that they was filled with violence. See, our world is bad today, but it was far worse in the days of Noah. He says, and God looked upon, notice verse 12, it says, and God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt and for all flesh. Notice that word, all flesh, is mentioned three times in these verses I'll read. All flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth. And God said unto Noah, the end of all flesh is come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them. And behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Make thee an ark of gopher wood. Rooms thou shalt make in the ark, and thou shalt pitch it within and without. And he goes on down, he tells him kind of the dimensions of it there. And notice in verse 17, he says, and behold, by the way, I'm glad that God pronounced judgment, not Noah. By the way, God is saying, I pronounce judgment. Why? Because it's God's wrath that has to be upon man. And notice he says, even I do bring a flood of waters upon the earth to destroy all flesh wherein is the breath of life from under the heaven, and everything that is in the earth, notice what he says, shall die. Verse 18, here's the other but. But with thee, boy, I'm telling you, Noah's loving these. He's loving this. He says, but with thee will I establish my covenant, and thou shalt come into the ark, thou and thy sons and thy wife and thy sons' wives with thee. Listen, if you don't get nothing else, know this, that Noah knew because of the promise of God that he and his family were getting in this ark. He didn't have a surety that anybody else was going, but he knew that his family was going. Why? Because God had made a covenant with him. We'll talk about that here in a little bit. But this morning, I want you to just think about this, living and not dying. Let's pray. Father, we love you. Thank you for the day that you've given us. And Lord, as we preach this morning, I certainly need your help. I need the Holy Spirit to fill me today. And Lord, to speak through me. Lord, would you open the hearts of your people. And Lord, those that are having trouble concentrating now, God, some thoughts are flooding their minds of things that's going on. Lord, would you take those away and help them just to focus on you this morning. Help us to focus on your word this morning. Let the Holy Spirit have liberty here. And Father, I pray especially for anyone here today that does not know Jesus Christ, their personal Savior, that today would be the day of salvation for them. Lord, for the Christian who is in the ark, but Lord, how's their stewardship of the ark? I just pray that you'd help us all. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. We see that God is going to bring a flood of waters over the whole earth. But in verse 18, he says, but with thee I will establish my covenant. And we see that there is a choice that's going to be made by the world that they can either enter into the ark or they can stay outside the ark and they will lose their lives. By the way, only way that you're ever going to escape the wrath of God is to be in Jesus Christ. It's not in your baptism, your church membership, or your social status, or your Facebook account. Right? That's called the fake you, right? We all have a fake identity on Facebook, right? Everybody's real bold on Facebook and not in personal life, usually. I'm going to tell them off, just not to their face, right? Anyway, that was a commercial. All right, back to it. I want you to think about this one. And when you think about these two buts in this Bible, I want you to think about two more. I want you to think about Romans 5:8. It says, but God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. I'm thankful for that but this morning. That yes, we may be sinners and we may be lost, but God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. In the same chapter, Romans chapter 5, verse 20, it says, moreover, the law entered and the offense might abound, but where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. I'm glad that when Jesus saved my soul, that he said, for by grace are you saved through faith and not of yourself. Listen, I entered into a relationship. I entered into the ark with God through the grace of God. And that grace of God abounded in my life. Why? Because where sin did abound, grace did much more abound. This morning, I want you to look at three things that we see here in verse 18. I want you to notice, number one, there's a covenant. There's a covenant. He says, but with thee will I establish my covenant. What was a covenant? What was this covenant that he was making? By the way, after there's two covenants basically made to Noah. This first covenant was made to Noah and his family. The last covenant, when God puts the bow in the earth, he makes a covenant with all the earth because he says to Noah and the generations after him. This covenant was given to Noah for he and his family. That God is saying here that Noah, no matter what happens, you and your family are going to make it into that ark. And what faith he had to have in that promise, right? That no matter what's going to go on, by the way, 120 years is going to prevail through the time that God has given him this, and through the time that the flood comes, it's that there's 120 years that's going to go by. And every day that, and we know that Noah probably didn't work on the ark quite that long, but we also know that there were several years of working on this ark that Noah had to keep in his mind the covenant God had made with him. You know something? I've been saved since 1994. I was saved in June 1st, 1994. My spiritual birth is coming up very quick. And I'll tell you this, the further I get away from it, sometimes I have to be careful not to forget where I was and where I am now. Why? Because sometimes the more we get into the work of God, more we get into living out our salvation and living the Christian life, we can forget about who we once were. And here's what God is saying to Noah. Noah, listen, I'm going to make a covenant with you. And listen, this covenant is going to be everlasting covenant with you and your family. And I want to remind you as a child of God this morning, maybe you were saved 60 years ago. Maybe you were saved 5 years ago. Listen, it doesn't matter. God's going to keep you in the ark. You know, the great thing about the ark, and you study this, and I know Brother Stewart did a great job of explaining a lot of this stuff to us, but you think about when Noah and his family got in the ark, God says, come into the ark, right? Because he was in there. And then the Bible says, and he closed the door. Not Noah, because Noah wasn't pronouncing judgment upon the earth. It was God. God closed that door. And one day, God's going to close the door again. That's called the rapture. We're out of here. Hallelujah. I'm waiting on that day. And if you look around, I think it could happen today. It could happen this very hour that God could come back. And no matter what happens, listen, no matter what happens in this world, no matter how bad it gets, listen, God has made a covenant with me and you that once you're in the ark, he closes the door and you can't get out. Even if you wanted to, you couldn't get out this morning. Why? Because God did the closing and God has sealed you with the Holy Spirit of promise that he'll keep you until the day of Jesus Christ. He's made a covenant with Noah and his family and the animal kingdom and says, look, you get them in the ark and I'll take care of them. God's made a covenant with me and you this morning that if you're saved, listen, you're saved and you're sealed and ready to be delivered, right? The second thing we see is that not only was there a covenant when he said, but with thee I will establish my covenant, but notice there's a command. Notice what he says in that verse 18 again. He says, but with thee will I establish my covenant. And notice the command here, and that thou shalt. Look at that. He says, thou shalt. By the way, we know thou shalt, don't we? Thou shalt not covet. Thou shalt not bear false witness and all those things. You remember the Ten Commandments? Thou shalt not make any graven image. All these thou shalt. And here he gives him a command. He says, thou shalt. What was this command? It means that this is the only way. Jesus is not an option for eternity. He's it. There's not a multiple choice test for salvation. I'll choose Jesus for 200, please. No. It's not Jeopardy, right? I'll choose, Muhammad for nothing, right? I'll choose the Catholic Church for nothing, right? I'll just choose Jesus. He don't cost anything either. Why? Because Jesus paid it all. And there is a command to Noah. Listen, it says, thou shalt. Listen, there's not an opinion. Now look, Noah, you can build this ark, but when you get done, you can either climb up in a tree or you can get in the ark. No, you're going to die. This is a worldwide flood. If it wasn't a worldwide flood, you know what they could have done? Just moved. And not had to build a big ark. Right? And not have to build this big old coffin like boat that they're going to have to get into. Listen, here he says, there is a command, thou shalt. You know what? There's a command to us this morning in Romans chapter 10 and verse 9. It says, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and thou shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Listen, that's the command to you today. Just as there was a command to Noah to get in the boat, there's a command to you today to trust Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. In 1994, I was at Enon Baptist Church, little old country church there in Northwest Florida. On the Alabama-Florida line. That's why I talk like this. It's a lot better than it used to be. Those of you who knew me when I first came, I was hick, boy. I'd go up to a drive-up window, they say, Can you just come inside? We want to hear you talk. I'm not lying. My wife was worse. Shelby was a big hick too, but all of us were hicks from the sticks. But I got saved at Enon Baptist Church on a revival night. There was an evangelist there preaching, and I never forget it. I was there, and the Lord just began to burden my heart through the Holy Spirit of God about my salvation. And I was raised pretty much on my mom's side as a Christian home, and the Lord saved me that night, a revival. And I've never been the same since then. And I'm glad that when I got saved that God sealed me and that He's holding me in His hand until the day of redemption. That He's made a covenant with me that, listen, I once you're saved, you are saved for eternity. But listen, the reason that I entered into that covenant with God is because He gave me a command that Jesus was the only way. I don't remember a lot about what that preacher was preaching that night, but I do remember that whenever he began to preach, it was as if everybody in that auditorium disappeared, all 20 other people. They disappeared, and that preacher was just looking at me going, Michael, you need to get saved. You need to get saved. Jesus is the only way. That's all I remember. And I kept thinking, where'd everybody else go? Why is this guy, who told him about me? Yeah. And I remember at the invitation, I'm telling you, I don't even remember going down to the altar, but I was there. I found myself at this side of the altar, and I prayed, and I asked the Lord Jesus Christ to save my soul. And listen, I knew because of what the preacher said, he gave the gospel right there in his message, and I knew that Jesus was the only way. And I confessed Him with my mouth, and I believed in my heart that He was who He said He was. And listen, Noah had to believe that, listen, there's not another option other than this ark. It's not like you go to a car lot and you go, nah. Well, for most of us, we can divide that car lot, right? I can't afford that. Between these two wrecked vehicles over here. That's not too bad of hail damage on there, right? Anybody else do that, right? You're like, that hail damage is not that bad. I mean, it's not a golf ball, you know? You know how golf balls have that pigmentation? You're like, that's not bad. I mean, yeah, one wheel's leaning out, but it's not that bad, you know? And yeah, it drives a little crooked, but that's in my price range. That's not the way salvation is. You don't go to, listen, if you watch TV, it's like watching looking at a car dealership. If you want this God, you do this. If you want to get salvation, you do this, you do this. Listen, that's not what the Bible says. Amen. Jesus even said Himself, you hear this verse every Sunday, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. He says there is a command that I am the only way. Amen. You can't get to heaven. You're not going to get to heaven by your good works. I promise you that. You know why? Because you don't have any. Amen. The Bible says there is filthy rags. In other words, you stink without God. And when you stand before God one day, He's not going to go, oh my soul, Michael, you were the best singer and the best preacher and the best husband and the best father. You were so good. I'm glad you're here. I promise you He's not going to say that. But He's going to look at me and He's going to know that I got there by His Son who was perfect. Because I am not. Because there was a command that says that Jesus Christ is the way. I want you to notice the next part of that verse. There's not only a covenant and a command, but there's a call. Notice what He says. He says, and thou shalt do what? Come into the ark. Thou shalt come into the ark. Listen, there is a call. There was an invitation given to Noah this morning that said, come in here. This is it this morning. You know what? I'm waiting on another invitation. You know what? Old John the Revelator. He was sitting on the Isle of Patmos having a bad day. Until Jesus showed up. And the Holy Spirit took him out of this world and put his head up in the other one. And John began to see, he said, the things that thou see, write. John's like, whoa. All of a sudden, he takes him from this God-forsaken world and he takes him to God's world. And he begins to show him all the things that shall be hereafter. And John's eyes are open to the future. And one thing that after he sees all of these things, he sees the horrible tribulation time. He sees all the things that's going to happen during that time. But then he sees the blissful millennial time. And then the last thing that John sees is the new Jerusalem coming down from God out of heaven. And John goes, even so, come Lord Jesus. After John saw all that, he said, Lord, would you come back? Because I'm ready to go. You know one thing I realize as I get a little older? I don't like down here no more. I'm ready for up there. Right? I mean, as you see things here, and by the way, this world ain't horrible, but it just ain't good. Every time I put that gas nozzle in my truck, I go, even so, come Lord Jesus. Some of you are like me. You're not filling up all the way. You're going at half a tank now, so it don't hurt as bad. Right? You get a half tank, you're like, well, that was only $60 instead of $140,000. Take one arm off, leave it there. Take your leg off, leave it there. But listen, one day we're getting out of here. See, to the lost soul this morning, there is an invitation to you. God says, come to me, and I'll no wise cast you out. You see, so many times, and I dealt with this as a young man too, to try to clean out things out of my life before I went to God for salvation and realized that I couldn't do that. You know, realize God's not waiting on you to clean up to come to Him. You remember this invitation song, Just As I Am? That's the way you have to come to Him. Because there's only one person who can clean you up, and that's God. You can try to stop doing this, you can try to stop doing that, you can try to quit saying this, but listen, without God, it's in vain. You have to come to Him. Why? Because He's saying, listen, come to me. When He put His hands out on that cross, He was saying to a lost and dying world, come to me. And listen, He'll save you today. There's nobody who is too far gone. There's nobody who is too good. Listen, there is nobody that He cannot save. Jesus' mission here on this earth was to come to seek and to save that which was lost. If you're here this morning, you don't know Jesus Christ, your Savior, He says, come. He's a loving God. Listen, the world also is out there going, come to us. Satan's out there saying, come to us, come to me. Listen, come back to this side of the world. But listen, there is a plea of God. You will not die and go to hell without God putting a lot of roadblocks in your way. I'm glad I don't serve a God who just goes, well, if they don't want to trust me, too bad. They're missing out on a whole bunch. No, that's not why He does it. He puts so many things in your life to get your attention. He puts so many roadblocks and detours in your life that He wants you to come to Him. And listen, I believe God is pleading with the souls this morning that are lost, saying, come to me, come to me. I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And listen, He says, I will give you grace this morning. John chapter 6, verse 37, it says, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. Revelation 22:17 says, and the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely. The last invitation in the Bible is God saying to you this morning, come to me. But let me put a little spin on this morning. Maybe you're saved here today and you say, preacher, I'm saved. I'm just sitting back listening to this sermon and hoping everybody gets saved today. Oh, but this message is for you too. Because some of you need to come back. Some of you have been prodigal. Some of you have wandered away from the Lord. Some of you have drifted away from the Lord. Listen, you know what? There's still an invitation to you. Yes, you may be saved. Yes, you may be washed in the blood of the Lamb. But God's in heaven going, come back. Come back to me this morning. Will you come to Jesus today? You know, one thing I was thinking of whenever I was studying Noah not too long ago was Noah's in the ark, he's saved. Hallelujah. And that door's not going to open 1 minute too early and went out 1 minute too late because Noah didn't close the door. I don't know about you, but if I was locked in there with all them animals and my family, I might want to get out, go for a swim. Hello? But he was sealed in there. That's one thing you see in the scripture. It says, and he put pitch within and pitch without. That means that ark was sealed, waterproof. You realize you're sealed and waterproof. But you know one thing I began to think about all the time that Noah spent on that boat? Noah was entrusted with stewardship. He couldn't waste his resources, and he had to manage his time appropriately. Listen, this morning, you're saved and born again. Yeah, you're in the ark, but how's your stewardship inside the ark? Listen, God has trusted you with things that could save your life or trusted you with things of this life. Listen, we ought to be stewards. We ought to be stewards with what God has given us. Even though you're in the ark, even though you're saved this morning, how's your stewardship inside of this ark? How are you taking care of the things of God in your life this morning? If you're here this morning, listen, every there's one thing we all have in common in this auditorium this morning. Y'all ready for this? This is deep. Make sure the camera's rolling. We were all born sinners. That means at one point, all of us was the same. Because we were all sinners. God doesn't save somebody out of deeper sin than others. We're all born sinners. Right? That was deep. But listen, here's one thing that separates us. Is that I'm no longer a sinner. Bound by my sin. Because of Jesus. Because I've been placed in the ark. I'm in the ark and I'm safe in the ark with God. And God has made me a covenant. God has called and said, come unto me. Listen, he's given me a command this morning that I can come to him. And he's given me that invitation. And I accepted that invitation. Will you accept his invitation this morning? The thing that separates us is that there's some in here that are in the ark and there's some that's outside the ark. And one day that door is going to close on this ark. And you'll not have another opportunity to receive Jesus Christ as your Savior. If you're underneath the sound of this voice this morning, if the rapture was to happen, you would be left here for 7 years and spend eternity in hell if you are not in the ark. Why don't you get in the ark this morning? Because he says, come. He says, I love you this morning, for God so loved the world, not the Christians. That's what the Bible says. It says, for God so loved the world that he gave his own begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God loves us this morning, and God wants you to come to him. This morning, we'll have people down here in front. We'll have a Bible, and we'll not give you our opinion, but we'll give you what the Bible says about salvation. We'll walk you through the Scripture. If you've got questions, we'll look for the answers. And you receive Jesus Christ, and you get in that ark, and the door closes. You're sealed until the day of redemption. Christian, how's your stewardship inside the ark? How are you this morning? Maybe some of you have drifted away. By the way, it's so easy to drift away. So easy just to go with the whims of this world and go with the winds of this world and just drift out there. But listen, God wants you to come back. You know why? Because he wants you in the place of blessings. He wants to bless you this morning. He wants you to be right in the center of his will. And he welcomes you back this morning. Let's all stand, head bowed, eyes closed. Father, we love you. Thank you for the day that you've given us, God. Thank you for your goodness to us. And Father, I do pray that if there's anybody here this morning that does not know Jesus Christ their Savior, that today would be the day of salvation. Lord, I pray for that Christian this morning. Maybe they've drifted away. Maybe, Lord, they just have let the things of this world just drag them away. Lord, maybe there's also some Christians here this morning that would pray for those who are not in the ark. Maybe some family members that are not saved. Maybe some friends that are not saved, God, that they would come and kneel on their knee and ask you to be with them and, Lord, to save them. Lord, help us all as we think about your word this morning. We ask it in Christ's name. Amen. We're going to sing softly and tenderly. If you need to come this morning, the altars are open.